I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BJ, it's always great talking to our next guest, especially when the Seahawks win and they piss off all the gamblers out there in this world. Please welcome to the show, Mitch Levy.
I hope you didn't have money on the game, Mitch. Boy.
I did not have money on the game.
Good. Did you see someone text us and said that somebody put $500,000 down and lost that because of that two-point conversion touchdown at the end of the game?
You know, it's funny because these things, they call them bad beats. You probably see it on TV. That's the technical term.
Yes.
In Vegas, bad beats. What's interesting about this is that 50% of the universe actually win on those plays.
We
don't consider those people. We only consider all the people that lost in that play. You realize that typically in Vegas that, well, maybe not typically, but the whole idea is to have 50% of the universe bet on the Eagles last night and have 50% of the universe bet on the Seahawks. So everybody who bet on the Eagles last night won on the two-point conversion and touchdown, won money, but nobody talks about those people. It's just a bad beat.
Could you imagine the adrenaline rush for you when you just think, okay, I've lost a bunch of money, and then this random Hail Mary bounces off a player and goes in the hands of the other guy, and then a two-point conversion. You're like, I can't believe it. I won all this money. That's why I don't gamble, man. I couldn't handle that, man. My heart was racing enough last night. I couldn't imagine having money on that.
Yeah, game. Between fantasy.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you guys, I it's funny that you should mention that because I had the caller plus 6.5 in the Beat Migs contest this morning. I'm a winner.
Damn,
I'm a winner.
Dude.
I'm a winner. I heard it was 7-1.
Good job. So you were the winner, and there was no Hail Mary in that situation.
It was just like the Seahawks game fixed.
Yeah. Don't forget, Mitch has got, of course, MitchUnfiltered.com, and you can catch the latest episode if you go to Apple, the iTunes or the Android store, wherever the Google Plays, whatever you call it, and, of course, MitchUnfiltered.com.
That's right. Episode number 119, and a good one for Seahawks fans. We were up till the wee hours of the morning to get that one done, and so it's out now. And the Seahawks are 8-3, and they're now in the midst of that 4-game stretch, guys. They play 4 tomato cans, and we'll see. I mean, you typically would think that they're going to beat all 4 of them, and hopefully they'll just take a business-like approach and get these 4 wins and get to 11-3 with 2 games to go against the Rams and the 49ers and have everything in the world to play for. So one down, 1 tomato can down, 3 to go. But that was a pretty convincing win, I think, last night.
I'm glad you said that because I think there were some people that I saw in the Twitterverse that were really complaining that the Hawks should have won by a lot more and should have crushed them, and then some questionable decisions. And people were just like losing their mind, like, what is wrong with this team? Russell was good, but he didn't look like the world beater we expected him to be with Carson back. But your thoughts on all this?
Well, I think that I hear those people, but I think you've got to consider a couple of things. First of all, you're playing against a team that is outmanned. You've got them outmanned. They're pretty good on defense. They're pretty good at muddying up the game. Mm-hmm. They're solid on defense. They were going to give the Seahawks offensive line a tough time last night, and they did. And I just think when the mentality when you play a game like that is let's not do anything stupid. Let's not take unnecessary chance. Now, you might say the fourth down calls are a little bit of an unnecessary chance, but I think they went into that game. They would never admit this, of course. They went into that game, the coaching staff, thinking, okay, let's just go about our business. Let's hand the ball off. Let's not do anything dynamic. Let's not do anything tricky, because over the course of the game, we will beat that team if we just handle our business and we don't turn the ball over. And I think that that's what they did. And so it's not going to be a pretty game. It's not going to be one of these high-flying 30, 35, 40-point games. Let's go in there, beat them, and come out of there with as few injuries as possible, which was the case, I think, last night. I think they only had one injury, and we don't know how serious that is to Carlos Dunlap. But, you know, a win is a win is a win, and it's on to the Giants now. And I think these next three are all the same, BJ, in the sense that it's going to be tempting to analyze the Seahawks on these Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings after these three games. Hey, oh my God, look at the defense. They got six sacks. Or, oh, Russell Wilson wasn't so great. The offense wasn't so great. What are they doing? They're not. I think you got to just kind of stiff arm that and just take these three games and last night for what they're worth. They're four games against inferior opponents that you just need to go out and win. And try not to come out of there too banged up. And that's what they did last night.
Yeah, and you know, that's a very good way of looking at it, because boy, they keep telling us how we've got the best schedule for the rest of the year, the Indeed. Easiest schedule, which you know, I guess,
yes,
you know, I mean, final. I don't know when the last time I heard that being said about a Seahawks team. I always feel like our schedule has been tough, and we'll decide what kind of team we have if they can beat some of these teams, which they've done over the years. This one here it does feel like, okay, we're in the playoffs, and maybe with a few breaks, who knows? Maybe we get that number one seed, though. Saints do look they look good, at least for that.
That's right. I would just caution that line of thinking. There's just one little asterisk to that line of thinking. Normally, at this stage of the year, when you're playing teams like the Eagles, the Giants, the Washington team, and the Jets, typically when you're playing 3-8 and 4-7 football teams, you're playing teams that are playing out the string. Mm-hmm. That are out of it. 4-7 teams are never in a race. They're out of it. They're playing out the season. They're playing for a high draft choice. The more they lose, the better. They're typically just not interested anymore. So you get that advantage. What I would caution you is, remember, the team you played last night, the team that you're playing this week with Colt McCoy, probably the quarterback, that's like 4-7. These teams are in a race.
Yeah, that is true.
They've got everything to play for. This NFC East is crazy. Remember, one of these three teams, the team last night, the team this week, the Giants, or the team in 2 weeks, the Washington team, one of these three teams is going to win that division and host a playoff game.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're playing teams that are just waiting for the end of the season to come.
And we may be playing a much better 49ers team at the end of the year. It looks like they are getting better, and you know, that
healthier. Yeah, it helps.
Could be a tough game. I mean, we've seen that they've already, you know, they've done the job against the Rams. So it's like at this point, you know, and of course we've got the Rams. So the last two games also could be a beating.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, the 49ers did you a favor this past weekend, did they not?
Yeah, they did.
They beat the Rams, and you're right, they're getting a little bit better, they're getting healthier. They added, in my estimation, they added three key elements last weekend, which makes them a far better team, one of which you guys know, Richard Sherman came back.
Yep.
And so you add Richard Sherman on the defense, you add on the offense, because when the Seahawks played him, you and I, everybody, we talked about him, they were so limited offensively when the Seahawks played him. You add the running back Mostert, you add the wide receiver Debo Samuel, and you add Richard Sherman. Those are three key pieces that all came back this past Sunday. Now, still, the Niners are playing a backup quarterback. They're not playing Jimmy G, so that you should be able to handle them. You should be able to handle them, but, you know, the Seahawks are in great shape if they just take care of business the next 3 weeks. The Giants, the Jets, and the Washington team. You win those three, you're 11-3, and you probably don't even have to win both the Rams and 49ers game to win the division. You're probably in a position where you could drop one of those two, finish 12-4, and win the NFC West, depending upon what the Rams do in the meantime.
Yeah, you're right, because the Rams do have one more game against the Niners, so we're going to, you know, the Niners could do
no,
us
no, no.
another
the,
thing.
The Rams have played them twice.
Oh, they have
the
played them twice. Oh,
they lost twice. They lost twice to the Niners. They have two more against the Cardinals.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. Well, so they've done us a great favor already, those Niners.
That's exactly right. The Rams have not played the Cardinals yet. So if you're a Seahawks fan, you'd hope that those two teams kind of beat each other up over there. They're going to play this week for the first time, and they're both in a chase mode for the Seahawks. So if they split, think of it this way. If the Cardinals and Rams split, the Rams have four losses right now. That would mean that the Rams have five losses.
Nice.
Going into the Seahawks game. Again, a Seahawks team that could have three, if they win these three games against the Tomato Cans. So now you're in a position where the Rams have five, you've got three, and you can afford to drop one of those last two games for the NFC West now. Now, then we're talking about number one seeds and buys and all that stuff.
Mitch, I saw the stat that the Seahawks just put out that DK Metcalf is the fastest player in Seahawks history to have 1,000 receiving yards in his 11th game in this season already, that he was able to pull that off. Plus, he was the fastest player to piss off an entire franchise in the beginning of one football game. Man, it was fun to watch DK just go balls out against, gosh. You know, it was like that was the narrative. Oh, this is, you know, his hometown, and they passed up on him not once but twice. And it was fun, though, to see him perform as well as he did. But on the flip side, it was like the whole time, like, where the hell is T.I.? It's Tyler Lockett, man.
Well, typically one guy has a big game and the other guy is quiet. But I would say this to the stat that you just brought out, which I think is an important one, that he's the fastest to 1,000 yards in Seahawks history. That's an indication of two things, Migsy. Two things. Number one, that he's having a great year and he's a great talent. And number two, that the Seahawks as a whole have a crap history when it comes to receiving yards. Because the truth of the matter is, you know who holds the record for most receiving yards in a season?
I don't.
For the Seahawks?
Corey Robinson.
The answer would be some guy named Steve Largent. Now, Steve Largent, was a great receiver. Well, it's a trick question from this regard, from this standpoint. You know, teams that had great receivers back in the 70s, the game has changed. You should have had a guy between then and now break that record because of all the passing that's happened in the NFL since the 1970s. The fact that Steve Largent still holds that record is sad to say the least. Now, he had 1,200 yards, 1,247 yards, I think. I looked it up last night. 1,247 yards in 1945. So DK already has, 1,050? Mm-hmm. And he still has five games to go.
Yep.
So he's going to blow away the record for most yards in a season by a Seahawk receiver, and he should. In fact, if you go back to 1985, they may have only been playing 14 games back in 1985. He should break the record. And the other record that he has a chance to break, the other Seahawks record that he has a chance to break, which I think is a little bit more impressive because it's more recent, Doug Baldwin's 14 touchdowns in a season. 14 receiving touchdowns in a season. That happened, I think, in 2015. And DK, DK's got nine. He should have had another one. He let one go right through his arms last night.
Yeah.
Right? He let one go off his helmet the last game, right off his face mask. And he tried to walk in and look at himself on the big screen in a game earlier, and he got caught from behind. Those are three. He has three touchdowns. He'd have 12 right now. Those are three touchdowns that he's given away in a season where he's been an all-pro. So, yeah, he's an incredible talent. He's an incredible. And gamblers would like to say, the Seahawks gamblers that you talked about at the beginning would have liked to have had DK Metcalf out there on defense on that final play, the Hail Mary. Who's catching a ball if DK's back there jumping and knocking it down? Is anybody catching that ball?
But hey, he came up clutch on the onside kick.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. He didn't let that one go through his hands. Oh,
thank God. Yeah. Hey, one text has a good question. From these NFC East teams that are left to play against the Seahawks, which one are you most concerned about? My pick is Washington, according to the texter.
Yeah. Is that your pick or is that his or her pick?
Oh, no, that's his or hers. Mine's the Jets,
of course.
Yes, I agree. The Jets are very troubling.
I completely agree. I completely agree with that. There's something about that Washington game that scares me. They played very well on Thursday. Yeah. They've got a quarterback who's the best story in the NFL, Alex Smith. If you don't know the story, if your listeners don't know the Alex Smith story, it's something worth, you know, Googling or go look at. There's documentaries been made. He not only broke his leg, severely broke his leg, you know, two, three years ago. But it was infected. They were talking about taking his leg off. Damn. They were talking about him dying. Mm-hmm. He was literally on his deathbed after this injury in the NFL, and he's back. He's somehow back playing in the NFL and starting. I think that Washington team is going to be dangerous in a few weeks. And yeah, I fear them more than I fear the Giants this week or the Jets next week. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And
but they should beat them all. They should beat them all.
Yeah, definitely. You're absolutely right. I mean, especially when you are at least trying to win your division, you just can't lose a game like that. You don't want to be a wild card team when everything is in the driver's seat for you to win this division.
I'll give you a couple of more thoughts, if you will, about last night. Two things. Again, I'm doing what I promised that I wouldn't do, overanalyzing the game. But
thank you for keeping your promise.
It's nice to have number 32 back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How about the touchdown run by number 32?
Yeah. That
dude,
was
does how about him strength.
It was so good to see that aspect of our offense back. You're right, Mitch.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. And sometimes you need to see it to be reminded of how different that offense can be. When you have him, he is such a difference maker, Chris Carson, such a difference maker. Even when you don't use him, in the first 3 or 4 or 5 weeks when he was healthy, he was out there, he's having pretty good games. They weren't using him. They were letting Russell bake.
Yes.
Okay? But to have him in there and to make defenses respect him and know that he could be coming downhill at them at any time, I think is just such a great thing. And that touchdown run was beautiful. I mean, that was all about what Chris Carson adds. That's the first thing I would say about last night's game. The second thing, again, don't overanalyze, but it's still an interesting point. In the first six games of the season, they've played 11, right? Migs, can you do this math?
All right, hold on. Get the abacus.
Let me get my calculator out.
They've played 11 games. In the first six games, the Seahawks as a team had 9 sacks.
Yes, I remember that.
They had 9 sacks, worst in the NFL through the first six games. I believe they were 5-0, 5-1. They were probably 5-1 through those six games. In the last five games, they've had 22 sacks.
That's a lot of sacks.
That's a lot of miles.
Yeah.
Nine sacks in the first six games, 22 sacks in the last five. So they have done what we have asked them to do, ramp up the pressure, get some pressure on opposing teams' quarterbacks. They're hitting the quarterback, they're sacking the quarterback, and now they've become at least respectable. Remember, we were talking about it. They don't have to be great. They just need to be respectable in the pass, on the pass rush. And they have done more than just that over the last five games. So that's a very good sign for things to come for the Seahawks.
It is. You're absolutely right. And if they can keep this equation going and stay healthy, it should be a good equation because Russell will bake, Russell will cook, and that should give our defense a little bit of more breathing room on their side, so they don't have to be 100% perfect. They can just be respectable, like you said. And as long as they're not horrible, that means Russ doesn't have to cook everything. Russ can take a little breather to put on the apron, maybe wash a dish. You know, he doesn't have to do it all. That's what we're looking for the defense, so that Russell doesn't think he has to do it all.
This may actually, Migsy, be worse than the preseason being extended five games into the season. This routine.
Oh, really?
I didn't think I'd ever hear anything worse from him than what I just heard over the last 25 seconds.
And quick side note, to let you know, my wife finds it very entertaining when you refer to me as Migsy, just to let you know. She likes it.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I'm glad I have her permission.
Yes. You got the wife seal of approval on the Migsy.
There we go.
So it's on to the Giants.
On to the Giants, my friend.
On to the Giants. And I'll give your audience and you guys one game just to keep an eye on Sunday.
All right.
Keep an eye on the Saints-Falcons game on Sunday. Because on its face, you would say, oh, geez, the Saints are going to take care of the Falcons. And they probably will, and I'll probably be wrong. I'll have egg all over my face. But just keep an eye on it for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Saints are playing a backup quarterback. Now, they beat a Denver team last week that literally had no quarterback. They had a safety playing quarterback, right?
Yes.
Okay, you saw that story. So the Saints are without Drew Brees. The Falcons really quietly have started to play pretty good football in the last few weeks.
Wasn't very quiet this last weekend. Who'd they destroy this last week?
The Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders.
The Raiders
were in a playoff. That's right.
Yeah, that wasn't very quiet at all. They racked the hell out of
it. That was a close game at 43-6. I don't know what you're talking about.
There you go. So it, just keep an eye on that game because I think it's in Atlanta. And if the Falcons were to somehow jump up and beat the Saints.
Come on, Falcons.
They would be doing the Seahawks, and I don't want to get into Mr. Playoffs. There's a tie-breaking reason why they would be doing the Seahawks a huge favor.
Well, it's because we beat them,
Falcons.
Right?
Because of common opponents. That's right, because they beat them. So let's just put it this way. The Seahawks, if the Falcons beat the Saints this weekend, the Seahawks will literally control their own destiny. If they win out, they are the number one seed in the NFC
World. I like that. I mean, I like that. That's a thing. That's something I'll be watching out for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that,
all
absolutely.
Right. All right. Absolutely. You know what? I think that's actually, finally, you said something that I care about. I appreciate that. You know, it's been, how many weeks have we been doing this, Steve? Do the math. It was 11 weeks, whatever. Yes. Finally, Mitch said something I care about. All right, Mitch, we will talk to you on Monday, buddy.
And here I thought that you were going to like my taking the caller plus 6.5 over Mitch.
Oh, I did.
7-1.
I thought that was good, but I really care about the whole Saints.
I worked on that all night, that line.
Yeah, you know what? You're a special boy. We've always liked you for that. But I really do appreciate, because I didn't realize that Falcon Saints game was happening. So actually, that's a good tip. I am going to pay attention to that.
Pay attention.
Yeah,
pay attention.
You know what?
Thank you, guys. Thank
Mitch,
you very much.
Don't forget MitchUnfiltered.com. Go check it out where you get podcasts. The newest episode is today, and we will talk to you on Monday, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.